Coming up next is Hemp Rock Radio on WVQCLP Cincinnati, 95.7 FM. Now broadcasting from the Crosley Telecommunications Center and Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios.
Speaking for the legalization of marijuana.
WVQC-LP, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. WVQC does not endorse any political campaign or candidates. The opinions expressed on Hemp Rock Radio do not reflect the views of WVQC, Media Bridges, its staff, or Board of Trustees. The opinions expressed reflect the views of Hemp Rock and our guests. Thanks for listening to WVQC 95.7 and Hemp Rock Radio.
Do you wanna marijuana? Do you wanna marijuana with me?
Hi, Hemp Rockers. Welcome to Radio Free Queen City and the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress and joint host, Mima Gobb. Featuring the Hemp Rock Cafe and Pottsbury Bakery on WVQC-LP Cincinnati, 95.7 FM, the voice of the Queen City.
Seven is online at WVQC.org. Hemp Rock is online at HempRock.com. The Hemp Rock Hemp Line is at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
To talk to us during the show, call 513-564-9600. That's 513-564-9600.
And now, here's Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including guests, music, news, food, and Burn Man's 420 here on WVQC-LP 95.7 FM. Low power to the people.
This game's a boss killer. Who would have thought the Bulls are falling? Indiana, Miller, Jordan scoring 22 and Reggie dropping 40. And I'm betting 200, thought the money was in the bag, it went surely. The homie took the glory as I took another shot of the Henny pass to Freddie. B.A. had the weed rolled as we left the spot. Top notch crop popping, a Honda Excel, the four door manual lock. Mary Jane, we blow, windows we roll. Intoxicated, blasting tunes out the radio. 80 on the freeway, now I think about parole. Roll, titty seat. Ace P smashed out the cut. They start to follow through on the blue boy lights. But my mind like jail tonight. No DUI for I. I'm mashing out of sight. Out the window goes the green. Increased speeds. I'm at 117. I'm over the alcohol limit at .19. I'm in violation. But a black man in 1991 is better off racial. I'm Rodney King. Mashing the exit, the 210 like madmen. They bring the workout for dark skins. I'm all in. Chances thin for the win. I'm driving all directions. Rush like linemen. They got the helicopters out. An option is backing out. 75 in the residential lab when no pencil is drawn out. Flat out of luck. Do I tap out? LAPD, word of mouth got me assed out. They order us out the car. The 200. to step out, but I feel like I came too far to be another nigga back behind bars. With my back against the wall, immersed talking shit like fuck it. This probably my last day as a free man. This is it. I'm laughing, waving at Baguette, a bird, I flip it. Grab my ass and tell these pigs to kiss it. A lady cop bitch points like I'm on word. You think every nigga got a gun, huh?
Freeze!
Your hands up and step away from the
The pigs try to swarm on me. They say I physically resist. I'm trying to stand my ground. I'm just a one-man army. Now I swing it, but I toss two off my bat. The officers regroup and start to fall back. They bring the taser out, fire into my back. They think I'm on PCP, and I ain't even attacked. Fall to my knees, then stand to a death trap. They tase me again. Am I a threat or cause I'm black?
It was a good day until I hit the highway. In my rearview mirror, I see the donut chariot of hate. With no time to contemplate a plan of escape, I follow my heart rate and choose to flee as fast as my vehicle can accelerate. Now the one car is three, all filled with overseeing beasts, famished with an appetite of humiliation, degradation, fiending to beat me to the days of segregation. Out of the car, onto the pavement, boots to the face went in and out of focus, trying to beat my black blue, but I will never be you, pigs, you. Boys in blue supposed to serve and protect. Well, today you served me an ass whooping and tried to break my neck.
I'm falling on my hands and knees, trying to leave home. Hitting the head with a baton, I'm knocked to the ground. They want to keep me down. I hear one officer say,
"That's enough, man."
I rise to my knees and receive more blows. Total of 56 with six kicks. Handcuffed and dragged on my stomach on some slave shit. I'm reminded of the slave ship. Thanks to George Hollander, you would never hear shit.
Holding my creativity into a great depression. Well, beware. This stormy Black Monday will morph its way into a black plague of agony. Broken glass, burning buildings, coughing up black smoke. My pen will be a Molotov cocktail of hope for all those who sit silent, listening, contemplating violence, awaiting their turn to play their part in the uprising. Recall Rodney King riots.
WVQC is dedicated to giving a voice to your community, but we need your support to make it happen. Show your support of WVQC Radio Frequency City by making a membership contribution today. Call 513-651-4171 to find out how you can keep non-commercial radio alive.
Hi, I'm Tommy Chong, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio.
Hi, I'm Cheech Marin, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org.
Cincinnati, 95.7 FM.
That really wasn't Chong.
Well, it really was Chong, and this is a shout-out from the sad Hemptress, the upset Hemptress, normally known as the happy Hemptress, of course. It was just revealed this past week that Tommy Chong has announced that he has been diagnosed with early stages of prostate cancer. So that is a good thing. And he is using Rick Simpson-style hemp oil to cure himself. And so I have an email out to his people to see about getting him on, to talk to him and get his feelings on all of that. But our well wishes to Tommy Chong on this day. Of course, Jack Hare's birthday. If you just tuned in, it is the Hemp Rock Show. I am the Happy Hemptress, and obviously I've already rolled some pot up and smoked it. So anyway, what we're doing today is numerous things besides the main thing, of course, is celebrating Jack Hare's birthday. He would be 73 today. For all you guys out there, ladies, people, whoever, that doesn't know who Jack is, I don't know why you're listening to this show, but I'm glad you are. If it were not for Jack and folks like him, Gatewood Galbraith, and all these folks that are still here and some we've lost, I would not be doing this show. So I want to thank Jack for that, Gatewood, numerous other people, including the guest
that I'm going to have on here in just a few minutes. But I do want to tell you, of course, it is also a sad day for our country as far as I'm concerned. It's been announced, of course, that yesterday on Father's Day, Rodney King passed away, possibly drowned, possibly heart attack. We really don't know yet. Of course, they said he smoked marijuana, but we'll see where that goes. Anyway, he was found dead in his pool yesterday in California. And so that song I did play at the top of the show was for Rodney. It was from a hip-hop artist called Thurs. That is with a Z, folks. And the song, of course, was Rodney King. So we give a shout-out to the family. And I say on behalf of Rodney, to the movement, can't we all just get along? Anyway, we're also celebrating Paul McCartney's birthday. And we could be celebrating another gentleman's birthday, Gary Shepherd. He would have been having his birthday today. If you don't know who he is, go to my Facebook page. I can't. I don't have a connection again. But you can go to my Facebook page, Hemp Rock, and there's a link there about Gary Shepherd and what happened to him in Kentucky in 1993. Anyway, a shout out to the family, Mary Jane, Jacob, and everybody else in the family, Stacy, and you all know who you are. Anyway, that's for Gary Shepherd. But we are, though, celebrating the life of Jack Hare. And so I am going to run to a clip real quick, and then we'll be back right after that. Of course, my guest today celebrating Jack's birthday with me is his best friend, and I like to say somebody who I admire more than most people in the world, George Clayton Johnson. And of course, if you've listened to this show before, you know that he wrote 12 episodes, or I'm sorry, I see a TW, sorry about that, George, 8 episodes of Twilight Zone and numerous other works, and he is going to join us again today. We did this last year. You can go to WEED Radio Network 4, the archive on that, but we're going to talk about some more memories of Jack today with George and a lot of other things. But without further ado, I also want to tell you that tomorrow is Election Day here at WVQC, and if you are a member, it's 6 o'clock kickoff. You can nominate people if you want for the board. I'm not sure how many positions are open, but if you are a member of WVQC, you want to be involved, and you want to be here tomorrow at the station, which, of course, is at the Crosley Telecommunications Center here, where PBS local affiliate WCET is our landlord. I love saying that. Anyway, if you're not a member, you've got through today to become a member. All you got to do is be a member for $30, and you can vote for whoever's going to be running for the board. So that is important information for those folks here that are members or want to be and want to help guide this station. And thanks to everybody out there, of course. Now, if you're having any trouble, you're obviously not being able to hear this show, but there has been some trouble with the links. You now, for now, have to go to mediabridges.org and click on the link for WVQC until the other addresses are forwarded correctly and everything comes to where it's supposed to. So I'm sorry if there's some folks out there that are not going to get this show right now, but we are strong at 95.7 FM here in Cincinnati. I'm going to roll up the clip. We'll be back in just a few minutes, or a minute and a half, actually, with George Clayton Johnson. And happy birthday, Jack, and happy birthday as well.
Three generations of hemp, cannabis, marijuana prohibition greatly contribute to planetary deforestation, pollution, and ozone destruction. Let hemp compete in construction, paper, fiber, fuel, nutritional, and pharmaceutical corporations. Cannabis has been safe, efficient medicine for many illnesses throughout all generations and for natural relaxation. Still, we spend hundreds of billions of dollars and throw away our Constitution to continue this insane persecution.
Over 10 million seriously ill patients must look for their medicine on the streets. They, their friends, relatives, and physicians constitute a large segment of the 400,000 arrested yearly because of marijuana prohibition. Where is justice here? Where is freedom here? Stop arresting sick people. Stop putting innocent people in jail.
I just love doing that, and I'm going to hit that button and make sure that George is there. George, are you there, and can you hear me?
I am here.
How are you doing today?
I am doing wonderfully.
Well,
may I congratulate you? I think you have the most engaging telephone manner and voice. I love your show.
Well, oh my God, you just don't know how much that means to me, George. And the fact that before I brought you in, you said break a leg. That really means something to me coming from a Hollywood guy. So I thank you for that. That is neat.
It lets you know, too, that with all of us, it's all performance. You know, it's my face for the world to see.
Yeah.
And it becomes kind of performance. But I want you to know that your radio performance is excellent. I think you're very identifiable, likable, and informed.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And, you know, not to pat each other on our back, but I have to give you some credit for that because of watching, since I was a kid, some of the work that you've done, and probably most of the work that you've done, actually, and folks like yourself that, you know, kind of, I paid attention, I guess, and I try to emulate those like yourself that I love and adore, even if in writing something that comes through to me, you know what I'm saying? And you just don't know how much I appreciate that, George, I really do. And thank you for that. And happy Father's Day.
Wasn't that a wonderful day? It certainly was for me.
Yeah.
My two kids said in the most sincere way that I was the greatest father ever. You know, and it just, what a great lift.
Wonderful. Could you do me a favor and just talk into your telephone just a little bit stronger for me so we can get you better?
Okay, let's see if I got this right. My voice is a little filthy.
Let me
try coughing for a moment.
Okay. Now,
no, that doesn't succeed very much.
Well, just make sure you got your mouth near the phone itself much better.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay. Now, you know, I did call you a month or so ago. I don't know when I got your son, and he said that you weren't feeling well. Did you, like, have a fall or something recently?
I had an episode that put me into the Veterans Hospital for a purpose of a couple of weeks to deal with pneumonia.
Oh.
Which I'd been carrying with me a long time. But somehow got jolted into activity, and I started losing weight, and I couldn't account for it. I got down to less than 100 pounds. I was ready to cash it in. I was beginning to feel the some damn dread thing. I didn't know what it was, and my family urged me to go to the hospital, and was afraid if I went in, I would never come out. But so I had some wonderful adventures there, which, in retrospect, are really quite heroic. But ultimately, they put me in touch with some very smart people who reasoned out how first to drill a little hole in my back without hurting me,
ooh,
going in between the ribs, and sticking a tube in there into my lung, and then to use a vacuum and pull out what the hell kind of liquids are in there. And they ended up with what would look like a douchebag full of vile-looking brine.
Yeah.
Sort of like dark pee. And I couldn't figure out what the hell. But they put it into bottles and ran off to the labs with it. And they came back with it. Yeah, this is pneumonia. Not only that, but it has spread to your blood. So therefore, we got about a half a dozen different antibiotics, one after the other, that we can use to make this work. And they did, miraculously.
Over
Thank a period
God.
Of time, I lost all my energy. I couldn't walk, couldn't get out of bed. They diapered me, treated me like a baby. They were wonderful, just so wonderful, the way these nurses handled everything. And when I would say thank you, they would say, well, thank you for your service.
Wow.
And I think, my God, they're blaming me for the Korean War or something. You know? What the hell is this? But in any event, I came out of there stronger, aimed upward, without that dread bug in me, starting to gain some weight, so that I got to get, now I'm up over 100 pounds.
Good.
Up to about 109 or something like that. But I'm getting fatter and more agile. I couldn't walk. They gave me a walker.
Oh.
I could go a few steps in it, but very tiring. I had no muscles left. I was really, literally a walking skeleton.
Oh.
But they were very pleasant to me. In fact, one of the nurses said, you really look a lot better than your stats say you look, you know?
Yeah.
It's like she was looking at the numbers that they've accumulated, and I sure look really wretched but I don't look too wretched. Anyway, I weathered that system, got a chance to have some choice visitors, and among them my son and my daughter.
Yeah.
I wake up only to find out that while I was recovering, Ray Bradbury was dying.
Almost, or did?
He did. Ray Bradbury died, and I think he was probably suffering a great deal.
Oh, my goodness, I must have missed that, George.
While I was trying to come up. Yeah, it happened a couple of weeks ago. Ray Bradbury died at age 91.
Oh, I totally missed that. I'm going to have to look that up, except I don't have a connection right now in the studio. But
he was a big deal.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was out of town for a few days and not totally on the computer like I normally am, and my email was down, too. So I may have totally missed that, and that just disturbs me. I did not know that, and I'm so sorry to hear that.
Well, I was coming to life, just as Ray Bradbury was saying goodbye.
Oh.
And now here I am with this added years, which makes me believe that Ray Bradbury's threat at his 87th birthday as a wish. What does he wish? He wishes we would all live to be 87. And I was 82 at the time. And I said, Ray has given me 5 years of life.
Yeah.
Because if God doesn't listen to Ray Bradbury, who the hell does he listen to?
I hope Jack Hare.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear about Ray, but I'm so happy that you're okay. And I sort of suspected that it was more than the way your son he didn't really want to say that it was too bad, just that you weren't feeling well and the best time to get a hold of you was in the morning, and that he would try to have you call me, and then I haven't had a chance to get back with you. So I'm so glad that they made you go to the hospital.
And
you know, that's you know, George, that's how we lost Gatewood Galbraith. He didn't want to go to the hospital and get into treatment for his pneumonia, and that's why he passed at the age of 64, you know. And so I'm thank God that they made you go.
I was of that mind.
Yeah.
Because my philosophy is I only want to die once.
Yeah.
I don't want to die and then be resurrected by some heroic measure that leaves me living on a respirator.
Or like Jack was.
Confined, you know.
Yeah.
Or in something hideous.
Yeah.
Which is no way to linger.
Yeah. But, you know,
As
you're telling me how much weight you lost, I'm thinking, my God, you couldn't afford to lose weight. You're so tiny to begin with.
That's right. I couldn't afford it.
No.
I had no body fat at all.
Yeah, and you say you're getting fat now.
And then that really started to become emaciated real quick.
I bet.
So I looked at myself, a frail skeleton of a guy.
I bet.
And,
how tall are you?
I was ready to cash it in.
How tall are you?
My mind went down to, well, what honors or what... What rewards has life to offer that you failed to get?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get the Academy Award, but I was nominated. You know, so, but as I went down that list of blessings, God, George, you had movies, you had TV shows, you lectured at colleges, you're a professor emeritus or adjunct or some damn thing that says that you're an educated person and worthy to be a teacher or a speaker or something at a major university.
Yeah.
Well, they can't take that away from me.
Right.
And out of such fragments, I built my self-esteem up to the point where now I recognize myself as a world-class figure. And somehow, wondering how the hell did that happen? You know, mainly following my heroes and doing what Ray Bradbury says, which is do what you love. I've never been in it for the money.
Yeah.
I've always been in it for the glory.
Well, I'll tell you, if I'm in it for the money, I have an issue.
call him about that.
Yeah. And I say to anybody out there that tries to say that I'm not doing my job good enough, if they send me a paycheck on Friday, I'll do it the way they want, right?
or maybe not, because of their recognition that you're worth a paycheck means that you have the right to object to their goddamn kooky ideas.
Exactly.
You know? So... I've always enjoyed that liberty of knowing that I didn't have a job. And I really wasn't looking for a job. I was looking for an assignment. I'm an assignment sort of a guy. For me, if somebody says, I need a ghost story, 12 pages long, but I'm going to press in February, but if you have one, give it to me. I'll consider it for the book.
Yeah.
No money has changed hands. No promises have been made. But now I've got an assignment. I got to deliver this verbal presentation in the form of some written language, which makes me sweat a lot and forces me to do things that I'm sure I can't do. But along the way, it also has allowed me to get to meet real world-class people like Ray Bradbury or Rod Serling or Gene Roddenberry.
Fantastic.
Them, you know, so many of them
yeah.
who have passed through my life. And here I am, still with 5 years left, according to Ray Bradbury.
And I hope.
So I'm going to try and use that five very productively.
Yeah, and now your birthday's...
I regard this recent interlude at the hospital
yeah.
as kind of a warning.
Yeah.
That I really should start to really protect the life that's in me.
Yes.
Because that's what's keeping the intelligence going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the intelligence is, fortunately for me, unimpaired.
Yeah. Got to keep yourself
mainly
healthy.
Because I'm still thinking and talking about the things
yeah.
I was thinking and talking about 20 years ago.
Keep doing it. So now your birthday is coming up in July on the 10th, and you'll be 83, right?
Yeah, I'll be 83.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, let's, I sort of forgot about the 420, and I want to say to the folks out there that are listening, I'm late, so I hope you're enjoying it. And, of course, we celebrate the 420 for Burn Man, who I don't know if I've spoken to you over the last few months, George, our friend who helped not only do the show, he was Burn Man on the show, he was also the editor and camera guy for Hemp Rock TV on our local public access stations, which, of course, is housed in our building here with us, our parent company. But... So we honor him now with our new time spot. We have our 420 here in Cincinnati, and we normally have a rant, but instead I decided today to honor Jack with you, and I just wanted to say that I'm only running late myself for the 420. So it would have been Jack's 73rd birthday today, and so I want to know if you have some good memories to share with the folks, because I think you've probably, out of folks, as you point out, who are alive yourself,
well,
probably
you know,
the longest knowing him the longest, so that's why I not only do I love talking to you, and I think it's great.
I hung around with him continuously.
I know.
Three, 4 days a week.
Yep.
Five,
yep.
6 hours a day. He let me listen in on his life. And when I went there, I stopped being the guy with the three names.
Yeah.
I started living Jack's life.
Yeah.
And I didn't try to intrude mine into it. I just sort of became a satellite. And I think as a sort of a weird Dr. Watson, he accepted me almost immediately and was willing to tolerate my presence and talk to me and explain stuff to me and leak his enthusiasms to his fans over the phones with me there to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think to honor Jack would be to promote his teachings. So let me take a quick whack at that.
Okay.
Jack Herer and Captain Ed Adair. Captain Ed owned Heads and Highs, which was a prominent head shop in the valley, and as a result was, for me, the only really political figure I knew who had a platform, which was his store, and the black light room that was behind it, and the whole mystique of psychedelic drugs. So, with Captain Ed and Jack Herer, who told me, Ed told me, that one night they were cutting up a kilo of Mexican weed, which they were dividing, they had paid for it together, and smoking it. And as they did so, discussing pot and what they knew about it, and at the same moment, it struck both of them the conclusion to what they were saying. And they looked at each other, and there was a recognition between the two of them that this was that aha moment when they said, hemp can save the world. It's food. It's fiber. It's fuel. It's so many things that it's capable of being made into. As a food, it contains essential fatty acids, linolenic, linoleic acid are in the seed. Both of them are essential to life and intelligence, and very few of us have any of it in us.
But we're deficient.
It's very richly in the hemp seed. And so when you're growing these things, you can plant one seed every 8 square feet. if you're growing it for seed. And 60% of the weight of the plant, when it's done, will be the seed, because the plant now has plenty of room and to go to thrive. Whereas if you're trying to grow it for fiber, you plant the seeds 2 inches apart. So they grow up almost rubbing each other, with a little tassel on top, which is the leaf that survives being shut away from the sun as that thing goes up, sometimes 20 feet. And out of that come some of the finest fibers the world knows. So Captain Ed and Jack looked at each other, oh my God. And it just struck both of them. And I think both of them dedicated their lives to hemp after that, because they put it all together. And I like to look at it, and I think what we have here with industrial hemp is a jobs issue.
Yeah.
We have economic interests that would very much like to buy up the produce from 500 acres out there in Nebraska or wherever they are. It can be negotiated over the internet. And that material can be shipped around within the United States. And my God Almighty, this idea that if it were legalized, if it was treated like any other substance, like corn or something, and then anyone could grow it, then, my God, you're talking about biofuels. There's a source for it in everybody's backyard, and every kid's wish to make an extra 60 or 80 bucks during the summer by tending to a huge garden of industrial hemp, you know, in grown in good soil, sold to local dealers. Anyway, the possibilities for commerce that grow up out of the fact that each one of the things that hemp is good at has plenty of competitors. You got silk. Well, hemp is finer than silk. Are you kidding me, George? No, I'm telling you what Jack and Ed found out. And as a result of finding this all out, they began to try to promote it. Captain Ed put together a booklet called Marijuana Minutes. And on one page, in a minute, he would explain stuff like I've been just talking about the plant itself and why it did what it did. For an example, cotton. Cotton wouldn't be viable without hemp, because cotton sacking, when it's dragged along the ground, as it is when you're harvesting cotton by hand,
yeah,
which was the way it all started, mm-hmm. Well, the toe sack, they called it, a gunny sack of some kind, had to be made out of tough fabric, or dragging it a couple of times would ruin it, and you'd have to build another one. So it turns out that the hemp fiber is strong enough to do all of that and more. And as a result, Kentucky was a big source for toe sacks throughout the industrial South for cotton. And it's the source of those bags that they literally slaves or workmen would drag through the fields as they plucked the cotton and threw it into this large sack, and they drug it back and forth through the field until finally they unloaded it at weighing stations and gathered their wages. And we're talking history, but it's not really that far back. It's very nearby in time, our history. You know, people who remember Abe Lincoln are still alive. I mean, who are alive and may have seen the guy. You know, my God, the Civil War is that close to us. And meanwhile, we've lived through, God knows, such a shattering sense of loss of self-esteem
This
country has gone through. And it could be resurrected with just complete legalization of this substance and let nature take its course.
Right. Now, see, that's why.
Economic.
Yeah, that's why Gatewood supported in his home state of Kentucky.
Yeah, absolutely. And L.V. Musica, she knows this.
Yes.
Ask anybody, Richard Marcella.
Yeah.
The number of hempsters out there scattered all around who are part of this movement, who are celebrated heroes of the movement.
Yeah.
Like, take L.V. with her. She's the one of nine people allowed to receive pot from the government.
Yeah, George,
by court order.
Four left, and George. Three others, including Elvie, now is all that's left. They've all passed on except for the last four.
that's fascinating history.
Isn't
and
it?
It's so recent.
Yeah.
And I say, if there are hempsters out there listening to this and who've read Jack's book, which I find essential because now it's been abridged.
Yeah.
Somebody trying to make money out of it has abridged it. And so much of the data, the hard data that's in it, may well be lost. I haven't actually seen that edition yet.
Ooh.
But anyway, Jack's book, because it outlines very specifically how many potential commercial relationships, jobs, and I think that it could be sold as a jobs issue and not in an initiative, but rather as a petition to the city, to the legislature.
Right.
Because they can make that a law if they think it makes any sense. And they need to be convinced that it makes enormous economic sense to the state of California if they can get together and in some way legalize the growing of hemp.
Yeah.
Or food, fiber, fuel, medicine, etc. And why is this not being spoken about very much? Because guys like Jack are dead.
Yeah. Now, you know,
there aren't very many people.
While you're mentioning that,
the facts together to be able to explain.
Yeah.
Why should we make a big deal out of this damned hemp?
Right. Well,
because hemp can save the world.
Right.
It can substitute for essential things that are very expensive and hard to get.
Exactly.
And now in this economy that sort of lacks being an economy, the tip of the plant is the high-test medical marijuana. But that's going to be threatened.
Yeah, it is.
People start growing very low-grade marijuana for fuel, and seeds, the spores will get into the air, and before long, you won't be able to grow any seedless pet pot. Just forget it.
Have to be upwind.
Unless you do it inside of a closed chamber. But I look at the ups and the downs.
Yeah.
I see a lot of downside to complete legalization because it will threaten everything.
Well,
it'll threaten food, for God's sakes. A new food. In the Middle Ages, they called it gruel.
Yeah.
Gruel, which was hemp seeds stewed long enough to soften their shells, which are brittle and hard as hell.
Yeah.
And so, like beans, take about 3 hours of boiling before a bean can be softened and open up into what they call the cis configuration, which is more of an open bean rather than a tightly curled up, compact plant inside of a little seed. Anyway, I wax eloquent here, but I talk straight to you.
Yeah.
This is what Jack would want.
Yeah.
On his birthday, who's still telling people what it is that he preached and knew so much that he traveled the country? He got to know many, many celebrated people. Some enormously important folks, like we were talking about Kate Woodgalvis or L.V. Musica.
Yeah. Now, but George, there actually is a lot of folks out there. You know, you don't have an internet connection at home for a computer, so you don't get to see a lot of the stuff going on online. And just in Facebook alone, oh, my God, people have been posting everywhere all about Jack's birthday and hemp this and hemp that. And that's an ongoing thing anyway on the computer. But specifically to something that's really important, I want folks to go to votehemp.com. There's also hemphistoryweek.com. Now, they're sponsored also by Vote Hemp. And who they are, George, is they have a petition to Congress. So folks can go to votehemp.com and sign the petition to Congress to ask them and tell them that we want them to legalize hemp for industrial purposes and stuff. Now, I don't know if you're aware, just a few weeks ago was Hemp History Week as well in celebration of hemp. But if you do go to votehemp.com, folks, and do the petition, right after that, it gives you a link that you can go get 5 coupons for different products, including hemp chips, the Tempt hemp milk brand that you can get at various locations around the country, and the hemp hearts from Manitoba, which is, of course, the shelled hemp seed, George, and then Nativa coupon as well for any product put out by Nativa, which is all hemp. And last but not least, you'll love this. You know who Dr. Bronner's Magic Soap is, right?
No.
It's the soap bottles that have hemp in it, and it can be used for all sorts of stuff. Dr. Bronner's Magic Soaps, they come in bar soaps as well as liquids. Jack.
I see. Labeling it is the whole problem.
Actually, this is a really, really old company that the guy's father started, and he's been continuing it and pushing for hemp. Jack loved, matter of fact, the bottles that I still have, I bought personally from Jack Hare, the Dr. Bronner's bottles of soap. And I bought so much, I still have some of it, but there's also a coupon for that. But he just last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, I have to pull the article up, but my internet's down here. He built a cage that he got inside, out of metal, in front of the Capitol in D.C., in front of the White House, I believe it was, or maybe it was in front of Congress, I don't remember, George, but he had this whole metal cage built that he went in, locked himself in, and the tow guy dragged it to in front where he was, and in it, inside the cage, he took some raw hemp and started making oil out of the seeds and out of the stuff, so to show people that this is something that can be used not just to get high. And within about 3 hours, it took for the local police to cut him out with a saw and arrest him. That was just a week and a half or so ago. So Dr. Bronner's son, or whoever it is, I forget his name now, I don't have it in front of me, who's running the Dr. Bronner's soap company, is really getting out there.
I have been totally innocent of all this knowledge.
That's why I wanted you to know this.
I see what's on the tube or in the magazine,
uh-huh.
And I think, my God, it seems to be a forgotten issue.
No.
You know, but I can see it's not.
Yeah.
And that delights me because,
of course, now,
it deserves to be kept alive.
Yeah. Now, you are right, though. You know, you're watching, it wasn't in CNN News as far as I know. Of course, I don't have cable, but I didn't see it in any news report. I saw it, like, on regular news that's coming through our movement, you know, things like that. Or on Facebook, there was a link to a story. I think actually the Washington Post locally covered it, but I don't think it went national or anything. And it should. This guy made a big, gigantic metal cage, locked himself in it, and they had to cut him out hours later. I think that's that should be on national news.
Yeah, it's what they in the movie business used to call a stunt to attract attention to a movie or something.
Exactly. So there's a lot of folks and a lot of heroes out there still doing the good work on behalf of Jack and Hemp. And so folks need to know that. And I know you don't get a chance to know that stuff. So I'm glad that I'm able to let you know that, George.
Well, thank you, Lynn.
Yeah, because there's still a lot. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, it's not even just about Jack's birthday. We love him and everything. But it is about keeping what he wanted alive. And that's the birthday present that I would want to give him, is that we keep this message going until we get what he wanted, which is legalization.
Well, he was right.
Yeah, and he was right.
And it's logical and smart. The more you think about it,
yeah,
the more you realize that this could solve a lot of problems.
Yeah,
that you did never show on the surface.
Yeah. Now, I'll say this real quick, although this really wasn't specifically aimed at, I mean, it was, but, you know, the hemp thing and the Cannabis Tax Act that kicked this whole drug war off was 1937. But of course, yesterday was the anniversary, 41st anniversary, George, of Nixon's war on drugs that he kicked off during his administration. And the numbers that now have been spent is ridiculous. The little thing I'm looking at has a comparison of the federal tax dollars spent since that time, 41 years ago, when Nixon started this. And it's I don't even know the number. It's like $6 billion or $6 trillion. And schools have spent in the same amount of time like $1 million. So it's just ridiculous, the disparity. And we wonder why our country isn't as smart as some of the other countries now, right?
I'm so mystified because it's business.
Yeah.
Good God, he legalized this, and a lot of land can suddenly become very, very useful.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, for folks that don't know or have not seen a copy or may only get the abridged version of The Emperor Wears No Clothes, you can read it in its entirety thanks to Jeannie Hare, who still maintains the jackhare.com website. Of course, if you don't know, his name is Jack, H-E-R-E-R, jackhare.com, and you can read The Emperor there at your leisure and find out exactly what Jack wants you to know, you know. But I said something to you when I talked to you the other day, and I want to say this to folks over the air as well. I know a lot of people, and I'm not saying that I knew him better than everybody. That's not what I'm doing. But I do know an element of his culture that a lot of people didn't understand, misunderstood, and things like that. And they thought he was just a mean guy that liked to yell all the time. Well, he was, but, you know, it was friendly meanness. So I said this, and I made Jim, who you know out of Detroit, a good friend of Jack's as well, mentioned that we celebrated Gemini birthdays when I was up there for Roger Waters' The Wall. And I made him and a couple other people watch Fiddler on the Roof. Because I say, if you really want to know anything about why Jack was who he was, you got to watch Tevye, the father, and Fiddler on the Roof. And I know you get that, George.
Oh, intensely.
Yeah.
In fact, my impression of Jack was a rug merchant. The volubility. My God, I'm not going to take no goddamn $80. You think I'm going to, you know. And they go after each other. And the other guy saying, 80, that's tops, man. You know, you're not going to get up anymore. In spite of your...
Yeah.
And the rhetoric is part of the game, and haggling is part of the game. So Jack had a large element of that in him.
Yeah.
He also had a lot of rabbinical scholar.
Yeah.
He had read a lot of literature of various kinds, because
mm-hmm.
I have. And I often found myself wondering what the hell, because he was talking about something I wasn't familiar with. And I thought I was familiar with everything.
Well, I say that he's my rabbi. I've said it for years, and
yeah,
so
yeah, rabbi for certain.
Yeah, and you know, his whole demeanor, everything about him was his Jewish culture, the Russian, Romanian, Lithuanian culture that his bloodline came from. It's the same bloodline that I have, and that's why I got such a kick out of him, because it just comes down through our history. And not to say that every Jewish guy is like Tevye, but Jack certainly did get the same DNA.
Oh, it is archetypal. That's why it ended up in that damn musical.
Yeah.
It is an archetype.
Yeah.
I knew this guy who was a tailor. He used to rent to us. Same guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, in fact, Geppetto, no, what is his name, that Pinocchio gets sold to this guy, and this guy is a villain, and he ends up selling Napoleon. I mean, selling Pinocchio. Anyway.
Rumpelstiltskin?
I look at that and I think, that's Jack Kerouac.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a joke between me and Jim that he's made people cry, things like that. And, you know, it's also the New York edge that Jack had. And he would like, and I can't say it because it's a cuss word, so I can't say it, but he would be sitting there just out of the blue, you know, cuss you out just because he thought it was funny. And if you didn't cuss back, he was like, well, what's wrong with you? He expected you to respond to him that way, and then he'd just giggle and laugh. Jeannie, I'm sure, would know what would agree with me on that. That was just something that he liked to do. And he was like you know, he's like Tevye. Tevye's walking through the house in the show, and all of a sudden he's singing a song. Jack would do that. He would just break out a song. And it's just when I watch that, not just because I'm Jewish, but when I watch that, all I think about is Jack. I just see the guy, especially the Topol actor that played the character in the movie. I just get a big bang out of it. And Jim and his son, when we watched it, George, they were giggling because they were going, oh my God, Jack used to do that. You know, there's the scene where all the old guys spit over their shoulder over the Russian soldiers harassing them, and they're pissed off, so they do that old European spit to the left. Jack, I've seen Jack do that, you know. And to me, it just rolled off my shoulder. So I suggest anybody out there that didn't ever meet Jack, if you ever want to get a feeling of who he was, along with the hemp stuff and the drug war stuff that he worked against, actually, and for, both, would be to watch.
I'm a good little Christian boy.
I am
embarrassed to say I'm a Christian, because most Christians give Christ a bad name.
I agree.
But I am a devotee of the spirit of the character depicted in the New Testament.
Yeah.
So, and I've read it and reread it.
Yeah.
And I've tried to pattern myself after how I think this guy would behave. It'd have to be very human. At the same time, it would have to be generous, and it
yeah.
would have to be sort of, in a sense, non-judgmental.
Yeah.
And there's certain qualities that this Christ has in the book, but he also has certain qualities. He drives the money changers from the temples.
Mm.
God, he lost his temper, started pushing people around. You know, what the hell kind of a Christ is that? And all of this depicted by a guy named Paul.
Yeah.
My son's name is Paul, because I think Paul is the one who sort of gave us Christ.
Yeah.
I think if it weren't for Paul, you'd have a hell of a time trying to prove that Christ ever existed. But Paul gives him a voice and a tone, you know, that do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yeah.
And that basic knowledge that unless you walk in the other guy's moccasins, you can't know what he resists or doesn't resist.
Yeah.
You know, so I liked him because he was challenging.
Hmm.
He always had an opinion that differed from yours.
Yeah.
And he claimed to have gained insight into the coding of the Bible.
Yeah.
And he had translated a portion of the book of Proverbs
mm-hmm.
and some of the book of Solomon, you know,
yep.
Into comprehensible English.
Right. He had Songs of Solomon, Jonas, Revelations, and I think you're right, Proverbs, and maybe one other book. I can't remember.
Yeah, you wouldn't touch Ezekiel.
Yeah.
I'm hot on the book of Ezekiel. I have some special theories about that. But anyways, back to Jack, he came at me as a Christian. You know, it's like, and he wasn't a bit ashamed of insulting Christ.
Mm-mm.
You know, if I can't handle that, screw me.
Yeah.
You know, and I did a very good job of coping with Jack, you know, trying to understand him, attracted by him, and yet seeing his many, many flaws and quirks.
Yeah, you quirks. Know, good word, quirks.
Anyway, I liked him a lot and was just so saddened when he died.
Yeah.
And I'm finding more and more people like Ray Bradbury vanishing from the scene.
Yeah.
And who is going to take their place? Who can step up and fill that part of the sky? And there are very few people.
You're right.
I look around at all of my contemporaries. Most of them have sort of spent their energies.
Yeah.
You know, like Richard Matheson.
Another
very
one.
Powerful.
Yeah.
But he's pretty much not doing anything new.
Oh.
You know, he's resurrecting his older stuff, getting it into print, and doing a magnificent job of it.
Wonderful.
You know, husbanding his resources. But I miss the guy because he had a voice, a fresh voice.
Well, I've only got a couple of minutes left, and I want to remind everybody this was a celebration, and all day we are celebrating Jack Hare's life, not only yesterday on Father's Day, but today on his what would be his 73rd birthday. So a shout out to Jeannie Hare, if she's out there listening, and to the family of Jack, and of course all the friends and supporters and fans and everybody else out there. This is for you guys. And of course,
hemp is a jobs issue.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I think it's really one of its greatest selling points. Is that, my God, this will put people to work.
And boy, do people need work.
And all kinds of art and crafts.
Yeah.
My God, in competition with the prevailing order, which is becoming pretty stale, we need a renaissance. And I have the feeling that 2012 is going to have the historical relevance of 1959.
God, I hope you're right.
In the 60s?
Yeah.
Well, now we've accustomed ourselves to our new tools, and we're going to really use them.
I hope so. Well, I hope that you were right in your episode of Twilight Zone with Robert Redford, with Mr. Death, that there is something after life, and that Jack can hear this show with us and is doing the good work from the other side, along with Gatewood, Ben Mazel, and many, many other people.
The evidence is that death is gentle.
Yeah.
People dying don't complain. They see radiant images beyond.
Yeah.
It's an incredibly long history of studying of dying people and their attitudes as they go.
Yeah.
And pain is not one of them.
Well,
dying isn't itself a painful process. It's, I think, getting to that dying.
Yeah.
You know, it's being smashed apart in those cars or whatever it is that comes to be your fate.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, you know, I'm so glad that we didn't lose you to the other side yet, and I want you to make
I think I'm in it for the next couple of years.
I hope Ray was right, and that you make it to at least 87. That's what my mother will be this year and beyond. And I just can't say how much I appreciate you coming on and your good, great words for me. Again, it's a pleasure, and I am thrilled that you feel that way about the show, George.
Well, you are an okay person, Lynn.
So are you.
Okay.
So are you.
Take good care of yourself.
You too. You too. It is the end. Absolutely. I love you, and I will touch base with you later in the week to see how you're doing now that I know you were that sick. I didn't realize you were that sick.
I feel myself getting stronger.
I hope so.
I think by my birthday, I'll be back up to speed.
I hope so. And you can't, you can't stand to lose any more weight, so you need to keep eating good.
No, I'm eating like a fool.
And get some hemp.
I found a new substance called 4-Fortitude Fortify. I think it's called Fortify.
Okay, okay. And get some hemp seed, too.
Yeah, it costs about a bottle, but it really is a rejuvenator for me.
Good, good.
I buy it by the six-pack.
Good. Get your family to get you some hemp seed out of, not to promote Kroger's, but in our area, Kroger's carries hemp milk, and of course, Whole Foods, places like that carry hemp seed. You need to get some hemp in your diet.
I've got a couple of Kroger's markets here.
Do you? Do you? Good.
Food for less.
Got to get you healthy and keep you healthy, hon. So,
okay, dear.
All righty. Honey, we'll let you know, go, and of course, George Clayton Johnson, on behalf of Jack Hare, and George, you have a fantastic day. And, of course, it is Hemp Rock Radio, and George is gone. So, of course, George Clayton Johnson, writer of many episodes of Twilight Zone, Logan's Run, much other work, Ocean's 11, fantastic man. I love him and adore him. Jack Hare's best friend for years, who is still alive. And if you want to know all about Jack, if you don't already, go to Jack Hare. HERER.com. And we love you, Jack, from Hemp Rock Radio, and we miss you. I'm the Happy Hemptress. We'll see you this Thursday. 4 o'clock for the 420.
This has been the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress and Mima Gop.
Speaking for the legalization of marijuana.
Hemp Rock Radio airs Mondays and Thursdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on WVQC-LP. Find Hemp Rock Radio archives at weedradionetwork.com.
Watch Hemp Rock TV on Northern Kentucky's Insight Cable Channel 21, Cincinnati's Time Warner Cable Channel 4 and 24, and now online at weedradionetwork.com.
You can join the Hemp Rockers list at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. Please visit CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. That's CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. Hemp Rock Radio, the Pottsbury Bakery, and Hemp Rock Cafe are brought to you by Hemp Rock Productions. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio and Radio Free Queen City, a member of Media Bridges Community Media Center on 95.7 FM WVQC-LP Cincinnati. WVQC-LP broadcasts from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios. You can listen online, become a member, and support the station at WVQC.org. Up next is Queen City Awesome with local music and happenings on 95.7 WVQC.
WVQC, people-powered radio.